Good morning to each one of you. Thank you for being here this morning. It is another, or I should say, a beautiful Lord's Day that we've been blessed with. And the next week ahead of us looks like we will be getting some summer weather, so I'm looking forward to that. And welcome to each one of you visitors as well. It's always good to see people from New Life here and others as well. So thank you for coming and being here with us this morning. Before we go into the message here this morning, and I want to add that it is, how should I say the word, it is awesome. So I forget exactly who made the comment, or it's been a couple of years ago that someone said that when you use the word awesome, it should only be used when you're talking about God or referring to things of God. And for some reason, that has always stuck with me. And I had to think it was awesome this morning when Conrad got up and he shared his devotions, and obviously God was working. It ties in along with what I was planning to share this morning. So thank you, Conrad, for heeding God. I needed that as well this morning. And I may also add thank you to each one of you for your prayers, text messages, words of encouragement the last, it's been close to a month now. Time keeps moving right along. So thank you for that, and we appreciate it. And obviously it is a change, adjustments need to be made, but with God's grace, we want to do that, and we are excited to help Tyler serve you as a church here, and we want to do our part here. Obviously, as you have seen before, and as you're going to continue to see, we're not perfect, we're still human, and we're still on the same level as all of you guys are. So continue to pray for us, that God could continue to work in our lives. We want to be faithful to what God has for us. And like I said, we want to serve you. And I thought I would also mention that we're only a phone call or a text message away. If you need encouragement, if you need someone to talk to, feel free to do that. Okay, as I was meditating this week and deciding what I want to share about, there's a verse, or let me back up. Last Sunday, in our Sunday school lesson, there were these, was it two or three words that kept coming back to me this week? And the words were, if I have it correct, Roger, I think the words were, the one heading was stay focused. And those two words keep coming back to me. And there was also another verse in Proverbs that I've been thinking about the last while, and I've been rolling it around in my mind and trying to decide, do I want to make a message out of it? And the two words, keep the focus, and the verse in Proverbs 29, verse 18, is going to be our base verse this morning. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I had to think, it's a verse maybe that we use quite a bit, but I had to think, do we actually understand what the verse is telling us there? It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's pretty serious. And I think it's real more than we realize in the day and age that we live in. As we heard already this morning, everyone's busy. There's so much going on. And I had to think, we can be wrapped up. A lot of the things that we do are good things. But I had to think, we can also be careful that it's not the enemy trying to throw us off course and make us so busy that we don't have time for the important things in life. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And if you think of the word vision, basically it's being able to see, looking out ahead, having a plan, aiming for something. And the phrase that's been coming back to me is, if I'm not aiming at something, I'm not going to hit anything either. And sometimes that's what scares me in the community, in the day and age that we live in. Am I aiming for something? Because if I'm not aiming at something, I'm not going to hit anything. Or do I just, so to speak, go along with the flow and I just sort of accept whatever comes along? And so I guess if you forget everything else, remember that. If you're not aiming for anything, you're not going to hit anything either. I had to think, I'll use John Byler for an example. He does a lot of hunting. And when John goes out hunting, and for all of you who enjoy hunting, When you go out, you have a purpose. There's a reason that you go. You don't just all of a sudden one day grab your gun and say, you know what, I'm just going to go out and whatever comes along, I'm just going to shoot. It's not a big deal to me. If it's a squirrel, a raccoon, a skunk, a deer, whatever happens to come along, I'm going to shoot. We don't do that. When we go hunting, we have a plan. We have a purpose. And I think that's what this verse is trying to bring out. And it says, if we don't have a vision, if we don't have a purpose in life, it says we're going to perish. But then I like the end of the verse. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And I love how it finishes out. He that keepeth the law, what is it talking about? I think it's simply narrow it down as he that keepeth God's word. If we stay in God's word, if we stay focused on the things of God, it says, happy is he. And before we go on, Lonnie, are you in here somewhere? There he is. Could we sing page number 696? This song came to me last night as I was preparing, and I thought it would be a good song. And it went along this morning with what Conrad had to share as well. So I'm going to take my seat, maybe, if you don't mind leading page number 696, and then we'll keep going. Something else that I wanted to forget, that I wanted to mention this morning is, I also want to, there's a very important person here this morning I want to thank, and that is my wife. So as you know, when you have ordination at church, there's a lot of, you have the week before, the couple weeks before, and I'm sure there's a couple of you other men who have experienced life goes up and down, and I want to thank my wife. She has stuck with me, and through the up and down times, and we've simply had to trust God. And so, but God is always faithful. And I also wanted to mention that just because God didn't choose you this time doesn't mean you're not important. You are of no less value. We're planning to have a couple more ordinations, so hang tight, hang around. But Don't lose your focus. Don't you lose your vision. Keep on doing what? Keep on being faithful in what God has called you to. Okay, if we think of vision, I had to think there's a portion of scripture in the Bible. Turn with me to Amos chapter 8. We're going to read some verses. Amos is a book that we don't read in that much. If we think of vision, we're going to read a couple verses here, and it seems here that the children of Israel, God comes to Amos and basically tells them, you know what, the children of Israel, you have lost your vision. And basically, if we go back to Proverbs, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, and that's in a sense what God was telling them here. You know what, you've lost your vision, you've lost your focus. And so let's read Amos 8, starting at verse 1. I think we're going to read all 14 verses. It says, "Thus saith the Lord God, thus hath the Lord God shown unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts." Okay, really listen to verse 10 to verse 12. Those verses really caught my attention. It says, "And I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall, and shall never rise up again." If we go back to verse 1 here, God comes to Amos and basically tells him, you know what, the children of Israel, they're losing their vision, they're losing their purpose and their focus. And it says, and behold, God points out, it says, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And I had to think, if we look at what comparison can we make to fruit this morning. So at my place of work there at the store, fruit is a big thing for us. We sell a lot of fruit. And it makes a big difference if it looks nice, that it's very appealing to people if it looks nice. Obviously, when we get it in, we have no idea how it tastes or how it looks on the inside, but if it looks nice, it sells a lot better. And we also use the phrase, we either have to sell it or we're going to smell it. So if you think of fruit, if not something is done with fruit, it's not just going to keep on looking nice. Eventually, it's going to rot. You're going to see mold. And I think he was comparing that to the children of Israel. They had started out right. They were losing their focus. They were becoming like the fruit. They didn't look nice anymore. And I had to think, you know what? We are really only a step away from them. We're not with the community. Sometimes it really scares me with how busy we are. And like I said, we need to have a focus. We need to have purpose in our lives. We need to be aiming at something or we're not going to hit anything. And if we jump down to verse 11 and 12 there, it says, "Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord God, I will send a famine in the land." It says, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water. It says, but of hearing of the word of the Lord. It says, they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they're not going to find it. And I had to, that's pretty serious. May we never get to that point. May we never lose our focus and our vision on God and what our purpose is in our life here. We were put, as Jay was mentioning this morning, sometimes we get busy with our jobs, but may we never forget, we were put on this earth for a bigger reason than to work, if that makes sense. We're put, yes, we need to provide for our families, but working in God's kingdom, I believe, needs to be at the top of our priority. And let's not let these, sometimes I fear that these earthly things, all of these, the more, how should I say it, the more wealth we have, the more we accumulate, the more things we have, and the more things we have, the more those things take our time away from what we should actually be focusing on. If we're not careful, all of these things that are supposed to be good can take our vision and our focus off of what's right. Let's look at the big picture. The picture is a whole lot bigger. God put us on this earth to bring Him honor and glory and to point others to Him. And so I think that should be one of our focuses and our vision as we go throughout our life. Now let's look at, turn with me to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to look at a man here who had a vision, but he had the wrong kind of vision. And I think it's interesting. I think God looked down from heaven and He said, you know what? I can use this man. If I get this man turned around, if he starts working for me, things are going to look a lot different. And I'm always amazed. I know it's a very familiar account, but I'm always amazed when I read this account, the different things that happened. We'll start reading at verse 1 down to verse 9. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." So like I mentioned before here, if we look at the first couple of verses here, Saul had a vision, but he had the wrong kind of vision. He didn't have the vision that God wanted him to have. And it just, like I said, it amazes me what all transpired. So Saul had these men that were with him. They were on their journey to get these, they were out to get the Christians. And the interesting thing is God had something else in mind. God had a total different plan for Saul's life. And it says that he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and there shined a light around about him from heaven. And like I said, it would have been very interesting to be there and experience how that all came to pass. It says, he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And we're going to jump down to verse 6. And here is the key words, couple of words that we want to look at. It says, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I had to think, you know what? Saul had purpose. He had vision. He just needed to turn it around. He just needed to do that 360, and he was headed in the right direction. God could use him. And I had to think, for us today, in the day and age that we're living in, for those of us who have focus, who have purpose and vision in our life, that should be our prayer each day. Every morning when we get up, Lord, what do you have for us today? What is your plan for my life today? I'm here. Use me. Use me for what brings honor and glory to you. And if we keep on reading here, the men that were with him, they were astonished. They didn't know what to say. It says they were speechless. And so I guess I was going to read more in Acts, but we're going to keep moving here for the lack of time. But Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When I read it, that really stuck with me. If I have purpose, if I have vision, if I'm aiming at something, if I'm here to glorify God, those will be the words that I when I wake up every morning. Lord, what do you have for me today? And so you may ask this morning, where should my vision or where should my focus be at? First of all, number one is my focus. When I get up in the morning, the first thing should be is spending time with God, spending time reading God's Word. Really, us as believers should be, I had to think, the more time I spend doing something, the more I enjoy it. And that should be for reading God's Word. The more I read it, the hungrier I should become for it. I should become addicted to God's Word. I gotta have it. If a day goes past and I don't read the Word of God, it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. And I hope that's how it is for all of you, is we need to spend much time. A person who has focus and vision, his first focus is getting out of bed, is spending time in God's Word. Lord, what do you have for me today? And if we go to Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, here's another thing. If you think of where should my vision, where should my focus be? It says, Romans 12, 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The key couple of words in that verse is transformed by the renewing of your mind. Every day, a person who has focus, who has vision, his mind will be transferred. And how does that happen? Simply by spending time in God's Word, meditating and reading God's Word. Our mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be strengthened. Put the things that happened yesterday, put that behind you and focus on today. Focus on what God has for you today. And I also had to think, get in your prayer time, be a person who has focus and vision will get serious with God. He can see anything anyhow. Don't be afraid to be honest and tell God what you struggle with. I had to think another thing is a person who has vision and focus, he'll be intentional. And I had to think that's so key for us in our day-to-day, that we don't get too busy, but that we stay intentional. If we tell someone that we're going to do something, then we carry it out. We make sure it happens. Be for real. Carry out what you said you will do. Philippians 4, verse 8. If you're wondering, well, where should my focus be on? What should I be focusing on in life? Maybe you're trying to decide, maybe you're busy and your week is packed full. You're trying to decide, well, what should I cut out? What should I keep? This verse came to my mind here, and I thought, you know what? This is a very good gauge to go by. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. There you have it. So if you have a question what you need to cut out, use this verse as a gauge to go by. Is it good? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? And I had to think that will answer a lot of questions for you. Let's break it down even to more our everyday life. What should my focus be on? Where should my vision be on? I had to think the church. It'd be interesting if we'd have time this morning to hear from each one of you, what is your vision for the church? What do you enjoy about the church? Where do you see the church at in 10 to 15 years? And if we stop and think about it, the church is the bride of Christ, and that is exciting, because when Christ comes back, Christ is going to come back to take his bride home with him. And so we want to be part of that. And in Matthew, Peter says something to the extent of, or Jesus says, tells Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we have that promise. If we abide in Christ, if we're part of the church, and if we're built upon the solid rock of Christ, no one is going to be able to, uh, to They may try and persecute us, harm us, but God will be faithful if we're faithful to Him. Just a couple questions, things that came to my mind is, do I look forward to going to church? The rest of my family will probably know soon if the church excites me, or is my focus on the church, or would I rather be somewhere else on a Sunday morning or Wednesday evening? If I don't put any energy into the church, I'm probably not going to get anything out of it either. And I trust this morning when you came to church that you're here to give something. Maybe it can even be as simple as encouraging someone after the church, or a hearty handshake, a smile. It can even be, there's a lot of small different things that we can do. I had to think, my love for the church probably will somewhat determine my love for Christ as well. I'm probably not going to love Christ more than what I love the church. Trying to decide here, there were a couple verses that I thought about reading in Acts, but I think we're going to, maybe I'll just paraphrase it a little bit. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. If you look at back in Acts chapter 2, the early church, what they experienced. I'm just going to read a couple verses. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common." Verse 45, "And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So here we see, is God excited about the church? Absolutely. He instituted the church. And so if we are a part of Christ, we should be excited about the church as well. Again, what is my vision for the church? Where do I see the church at in 15 to 20 years? Just some things for you to think about. What is my vision for my family? Do I have a vision for my family? My wife and I were talking about it the other night. In 10 years from now, which 10 years rolls around rather quickly anymore, but in 10 years from now, our life could look very different as far as our family is concerned. So if you stop and think about it, now is the time, not tomorrow. Now is the time for you to be intentional with your family. Do you have a plan? Do you have a purpose? Do you have a vision for your family? I believe that's very, very, very important. And your family will soon catch on if there's a vision, if dad enjoys being at home, if he spends time with the family. And I believe in our day and age today, the family is such a beautiful thing when it functions properly, but it's also something that the devil is on a rampage. He's trying to destroy families because he knows if he can destroy the family, he can probably get to the rest as well. Just a couple things that I jotted down. How important are my wife and children to me? Is my focus on them? Do I spend quality time with them, or do they just get the leftover time? And I struggle with that as well. Things are busy, and we have to decide what are we going to do? What are we going to cut out? What's important in life? What does my conversation with my family consist of? And everything has its time, its place, but am I always talking about sports, hunting, about the next dollar I can make, or do I talk about, as a family, do we talk about God's word, and do we discuss it and ask the children, do you have questions? Build convictions in their lives. That is how we can create vision and purpose for our families. What about a live family altar? This one can be a challenge. Right now, the days are longer. There's work to do on the outside. Do we cut that short? Where's my vision? Where's my focus? Am I more focused on the work, or is my vision on my family? Am I going to take time and spend time reading God's word? Just a couple things that I jotted down. What am I teaching our children? Do I teach them to be kind, respect other people's property, be honest? Encourage your children to memorize Bible verses. That's such an important part. Right now, We have a lot of younger children. They're like sponges. Children, memorize verses. You'll be so glad for that when you get older. Those verses, I can even, verses that are remembered back in school, when I read them, when someone reads them, they ring a bell, they come back to me. And another thing that I thought about is, you know what? It's okay when you have an evening open in the week that you can just stay at home with your family and not do anything. You don't have to have something planned 5 days a week. The enemy may tell you you're not very important, but if you're going to keep your focus on your family and keep the vision alive, you're going to have to stay at home, because that's where the real family training comes into practice. I have a hard time training my family when we're always on the run, when we're always somewhere else doing something else. The training happens when I'm at home, when I spend quality time with them. And these are all things, the message is for me this morning, these are things that I'm working with in my life and trying to discern and use wise time in them. The other thing I had to think is money. My children, we all need it. Obviously, everything is high, everything is pricey. Where's my focus on? Like I'd said earlier, do my children know that I'm always the guy that's going to be out there trying to make the next dollar, or do I trust God to provide for my needs? Now, I say that, but that it's easier said than done. I can say that, but the real test comes when I actually have to do that, when I actually have to trust God. And it feels like we live in a day and age where people feels like spending is the thing to do. Save your money. There's going to come a time when you have a rainy day when you're going to need that money. There's more to life than just spending money. You also have to save money. You have to prepare for the future. You need to have a vision. You need to have a focus. Look out ahead. What's going to happen? Men, do we respect and honor our wives, or does everything have to be done my way? Am I the type of guy who, whenever something comes up, I make all the decisions, I bring the hammer down if things don't go my way, or do I see what my wife, what does the rest of the family have to say? And I also wanted to add, you wives play a very vital part in the family life, and for sure in your husband's life, encouraging him, standing by him, praying for him. So don't think that you play just as important role in a different sense as what us as men do. It's time for me to close here. I'm just simply going to recap again and go back and read the verse that we begin with in Proverbs. Proverbs 29:18, again it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So the question is my vision alive? Do I have a vision? Do I have focus for the future? Do I have a plan, or do I just go along? I trust that we're the type of people that we don't just go along with the flow and, you know what, whatever happens tomorrow happens. No, we need to have a plan. We need to have a vision in our lives so that when things do come along, then that purpose and vision can come into play. But it says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." That is a promise for us as believers. If we remain faithful, it says, happy is he. And so if you forget everything else, remember, it's serious. It says, where there is no vision, the people are going to perish. And I trust I'm talking to a group of people this morning that has vision. You have purpose. You have focus in your life. Focus on good things. Focus on godly things. It's sad, but if you open your phone, you look at the news, everything is so negative. There's almost no positive news there. Put it away. Read the Word of God. That's where the positive news is at. Us as believers, we have God on our side. We'll make it. But we need vision. We need to focus. Like I said before, if I'm not gonna aim at anything, I'm not gonna hit anything either. So, blessings to you, and I will turn the time back over to Tyler.